versus them and Chrysler Corp.
Good morning. My name is David Bernstein, and I represent Daimler Chrysler in this appeal from the District Court's denial of our motion for a preliminary injunction. The District Court's decision was infected with three legal errors. First, the Court failed to properly apply the doctrine of progressive encroachment, which says that a trademark owner need not pursue every trivial violation of their rights, lest they have to run to court every single time. Second, the District Court failed to acknowledge that trademarks exist in particular markets, and therefore that the first use by AM General of the Hummer grill design in the military market and in the paramilitary market does not count as use in the mainstream SUV market, which is the market at issue in this case, which is the market in which the H2 vehicles and Jeep vehicles are sold. And third, in evaluating the harms that would occur if an injunction were granted or denied, the court improperly allowed General Motors to avoid the injunction by threatening to cause grievous harm to itself, to its partner AM General, and to the community. It is improper and economically inefficient to allow a defendant to avoid an injunction by threatening self-imposed harm that would not be caused by the injunction itself. The implications of these errors go far beyond this case. If these errors are not corrected, it will create perverse incentive. For trademark owners, there would be the perverse incentive that you would have to literally make a federal case out of every dilution of your trademark, however insignificant it might be, even if it was in a non-competitive
I thought market. That had been going on for years, but go ahead.
Well, Your Honor, we try very hard not to make federal cases out of insignificant ones. I think it will be an exacerbated problem if the court thinks it already is a problem, if this opinion is allowed to stand.
Well, let's look at one thing. Why did you fail to oppose AM General's trademark application in 1996? Did you consider that trivial?
Your Honor, Daimler Chrysler was entitled to look at the entire array of facts in deciding whether or not it was going to oppose that application. And among the facts were that AM General represented to the trademark office that the vehicle was solely going to be sold in markets distinct from the Jeep. And when Daimler Chrysler and any trademark owner looks at those circumstances, you have the right to say, is this an erosion that bothers me or not? And it's the testimony down below by Daimler Chrysler's designer of the Jeep vehicle was that he viewed the H1 as a pebble of erosion compared to the Grand Canyon of erosion that will be caused by this H2. The H1, Your Honor, which used to be known as the Hummer, it's now been renamed the H1, but the H1 sold at $100,000 or more. They sold fewer than 900 a year. It was sold to
Is Park that Manchin. The reason that you didn't act now earlier because of the argument that you're making at this time?
Well, Your Honor, the Daimler Chrysler properly asserted its right, its attorney-client privilege, and so we did not, down below, get into the question of exactly why Daimler Chrysler did what it did back in 1996. But that really doesn't affect the question before this court, which is, when you evaluate whether or not it was reasonable, you look at these market-based factors. That is the whole notion of progressive encroachment. And progressive encroachment derives out of the equitable doctrine of laches, which says that a trademark owner should not unreasonably delay in pursuing its rights, lest it be barred in the future. And so the question is, was the delay reasonable or not? And the factors that the district court should consider would be, was it a pebble of erosion or not? Was it something that was in a completely distinct market, which the military and the paramilitary markets are, or not? And in fact, Your Honor, what is really telling is that in the district court on our infringement claim, the district court found that progressive encroachment did apply. The district court found, with respect to our infringement claim, that whatever delay we had in going after the H1 was reasonable, whether it was because it was in distinct markets or because it was so expensive.
Well, is it unusual for a manufacturer of vehicles to try it first in the military, and if it works out, give it to the general public? That's not unusual, is it?
Well, Your Honor, it's only happened twice, as far as we can tell. It happened with the Jeep. The Jeep brand and the Jeep grill design was first used in World War II.
Right.
And yes, it has happened with the Hummer. and they did bring it from the military market, where the Humvee was sold, into the mainstream market, and they brought, Your Honor, that exact car. Literally, the H1 was the Humvee without the gun mount. And it is, candidly, it is just barely street legal. It doesn't fit in a car wash. It is almost non-functional for an everyday person to drive. It is an incredibly functional off-road vehicle. It's incredibly functional for purposes of what the U.S. Army needs. But it is not an everyday car. And that is why, Your Honor, it has sold in such tiny quantities in a market that GM's own witnesses agreed, and AM General's, that it was in a class by itself. And Daimler Chrysler had the right to say, this is a pebble of erosion that does not dilute our grill trademark, in our market, in the mainstream SUV market, where our customers have an association with the grill, where that grill has a whole host of attributes.
Then why are you concerned now if it's just a little pebble in the market?
Your Honor, we're concerned now because it's not the H1 we're seeking an injunction against. We have no problem with the H1. It's General Motors H2. General Motors has acquired the brand.
I understand that.
And they're coming out with a vehicle that is a mainstream vehicle. It's going to be about $50,000 a year. Actually, it's being sold right now.
You're right.
In the mainstream market, in competition with Jeep vehicles. And, Your Honor, they hope to sell 40,000 a year, compared to maybe 900 a year of the H1 in this completely distinct market. And that's only the beginning, because there's a plan for an H3 vehicle, which will be sold at an even lower price, directly competitive on every level with our Jeep line of vehicles.
Well, and isn't it just in this case now, because this was a preliminary injunction, isn't it moot since GMC, as you say, has already launched the H2 and they're already sold in the marketplace? They're already being sold. Isn't the preliminary injunction moot?
Oh, it's hardly moot, Your Honor. While we've been litigating the appeal, we have been proceeding with discovery, and indeed we're virtually complete with discovery, and there are dispositive motions being presented to the district court. But we are entitled to get a preliminary injunction against the continued sales of this H2 vehicle. And let me say, Your Honor, how narrow the injunction is, because this really is a point that I think is important. We aren't seeking to stop sales of the H2. We are not seeking to close the plant in South Bend. We are not seeking to put anybody out of work. The testimony below and the record that we've submitted to this court shows that General Motors, almost 2 years ago, started to plan for the contingency that an injunction might issue. And they created an alternative grill design. And they had it designed. And they had it designed by their designers. They had it produced with an outside manufacturer. And they are continuing that process even today, even despite the district court's denial of our motion. So that if this injunction were entered, all GM needs to do is switch those grills, have their other alternative grill ready to go, and none of the harm about which I'm sure Mr. Ledoux will have a lot to say, none of that harm to the South Bend community
needs to happen. That's just a good management decision.
We absolutely agree. And you know, Your Honor, we think that the law should encourage smart economic decisions like that. But then what GM did at the preliminary injunction hearing, Your Honor, was that they came in and for the first time, their witnesses said, sure, we've got this whole program, but we will never use it. And Judge Miller, if you enter this injunction, rather than use the contingency grill that we ourselves designed, we would rather close the plant, put people out of work, cause grievous harm to this community. We will cause grievous harm to AM General. And the district court, when you read the decision, gives a lot of weight to that. We think it is improper in calculating the harms to count harms that you assume that you caused yourself. That's, Your Honor, that's what the Ty versus Jones case talks about as well. If you assume the risk of harm, it is improper for that to count in the calculus of harm. Now, one of the other errors that the district court that I mentioned in my opening remarks is the district court failed to recognize that trademarks exist in particular markets. And this comes in two ways. We have a dilution claim and an infringement claim. With respect to our dilution claim, the district court required us to prove fame prior to any use anywhere of the H2 or the Hummer grill. And similarly with our infringement claim, it required us to prove secondary meaning prior to use anywhere of the Hummer grill. But different use in different markets can coexist. And it is improper to say that the first use of the Hummer grill in this military market which couldn't be more distinct, should count against us that we have to prove secondary meaning today, Your Honor. And indeed, I think the Commerce case in the Third Circuit is instructed on this point. It's cited in our brief. This is where there was a Commerce Bank in New Jersey which used the Commerce mark since the early 70s. And then in the 80s, an insurance agency started, also called Commerce. And those two marks coexisted for 13 years. Until 1996, when Commerce Insurance Agency said, excuse me, Commerce Bank said, you know what, we want to get into that insurance agency business. And they started Commerce National Services Insurance. And the district court found that Commerce Insurance Agency could not get an injunction because Commerce Bank was the first user. They were using Commerce for banking services before Commerce Insurance Agency. But the Third Circuit reversed and said you've got to look at the market. The issue is that Commerce Insurance Agency was the first user of Commerce in its market, even though, by the way, the bank was selling some insurance products. And we think the same is true here, that the use of the Hummer grill design in the military market and the paramilitary market, used, by the way, that we tolerate as a very low-level violation of our trademark rights, one that we didn't think it was worth making a federal case about, one that we didn't want to come and clog the courts up about years ago. But now, when they're coming into our market, the question is, today, the HP was launched this summer, 2002, so the question the district court should answer is the Daimler Chrysler Jeep grill design famous today, as of 2002, when they are moving into that market? Does it have secondary meaning today, 2002, when they're moving into our market? And we think the district court erred by requiring us to prove fame all the way back to 1985, which was the first use of the Humvee in the military market. Your Honors, because of these three legal errors, the district court, we believe, improperly denied our application of preliminary injunction. And we don't ask, we don't believe it's moot, because the cars are still being produced and it is not too late for us to get the relief we need. And we ask that you reverse on these three legal errors, reverse and remand the case down to the district court to apply the proper legal principles on progressive encroachment, because progressive encroachment is no different in dilution than it is in infringement. The court already found progressive encroachment with respect to our infringement claim. The court already found, as in the recent Chattanooga versus Nike case, that there was a change in the manner of use. There was a change in the manner of use that justified our delay in not bringing a claim on infringement before. The exact same market-based facts that worked in the infringement claim should apply in the dilution context. And the court also should revalue the harm and the merit in making that determination of taking an action that is designed to minimize the cost. And if I may, I'd like to reserve whatever time I have in addition to my 5 minutes for rebuttal.
Thank you, counsel. Bill, this is what you need.
That's right.
May it please the court. My name is Chris Landau, and I'm with Kirkland & Ellis. I'm here this morning on behalf of Appellee General Motors Corporation. I'm splitting time this morning with Mr. Ledoux, who represents the Appellee AM General. Your Honors, we have just heard a lot from Mr. Bernstein about markets. I think this exhibit right here, which comes from their appendix on appeal, page A19, really illustrates the logical dilemma at the heart of their case. They started out, Your Honors, asserting trademark rights when they filed this lawsuit in the Jeep grill. Well, problem for them. Turns out, there's no such thing as the Jeep grill. So what they, in fact, as the district court found, Jeep grills look very dissimilar. If you look at page 14 of the short appendix attached to our brief, you'll see a whole variety.
Say it again. Jeep grills are very dissimilar?
Yes, Your Honor. On page 20.
Isn't there a comparison dissimilar to what? I mean, to each other?
Yes, Your Honor. Yes.
Each Jeep has got its own unique grill?
Well, Your Honor, they came in again.
Yeah, I saw that. But run through this with me.
Right. Well,
how many Jeep grills are there?
There's a whole variety because you have different models.
You don't have any idea how many.
Well, Your Honor, in this chart that we have on page 14.
Do you have any idea how many there are?
On that chart, there's at least 20 different Jeep grills illustrated there on page 14 of the short appendix.
That are made each year?
Well, they vary, right. Sometimes you can have the Wrangler from years X to years Y, and then they might change, have a different look on the Commando from years X. They've discontinued some models. So you can.
Did anybody ever check to see whether people bought cars on the basis of the grill, or, I mean, is that, am I being naive on this subject?
No, that is a very significant point in terms of the likelihood of confusion analysis. And the district court, in fact, pointed out that there's really no likelihood of confusion at the end of the day because people are buying vehicles. They're not just buying disembodied grills. And so at the end of the day, when you're actually getting to likelihood of confusion, you're absolutely right, Your Honor, that the inquiry is what is the product? And we cited a number of cases in our brief that say you look at the overall impression, understanding of the consumer, not just putting on blinders and looking at
the difference does it make what kind of grill you have? Why don't you change it just for that?
Oh, the grill is a very important part of our brand, Your Honor. I mean, the grill, as the district court found, the Hummer grill, which we have registered, is a very well-known grill. It's an important visual.
So we're back to my question. People are buying the car on the basis of the grill?
Oh, Your Honor, it's certainly a factor that brings associations. A grill is an important component of a car. If you look at our advertising, Your Honor.
Barnum was right. Never underestimate the stupidity of the public.
Your Honor, I don't claim to be an advertising expert, but there are findings in the record in this case that the grill is a very important part of a very important visual cue, and we paid $300 million
outside of Packard, brand. I can't think of a grill that was distinct. They all look the same to me, and a grill is a grill is a grill. Some of them don't even have any grill.
Well, certainly, Your Honor, they, as the plaintiff in these claims, have the burden of showing that their particular grill...
Well, I was just curious as to why the fight clung so long. I mean, you know...
Well, we feel very strongly about our grill, Your Honor.
I'm sure you do. They do, too.
Right. If I could just... kind of just go through the course of this litigation, because again, I think there's a logical inconsistency and fallacy at the heart of their case that I want to really make sure that I get on the board.
And I just want to make sure I have the right exhibit where there were comparisons of the various grills. That's CAM Injunction Exhibit 307, which is attached to your brief, right?
It's page 14 of our short appendix.
Right, that's what I've got. Yeah. And it's Exhibit 307.
Yeah, okay.
I just
want
to make sure I had the right, I was sure that's what you were referring to.
Right.
You can go ahead now.
Right. So, Your Honor, their problem was they get to the court below, and it turns out there is no such thing as the Jeep grill, because some of them are actually quite horizontal as opposed to having these vertical slots. So what do? They say, oh no, we're not asserting rights in the Jeep grill, we're asserting rights in a family of Jeep grills. And then they cherry pick certain of the grills on that particular exhibit there. They say, we're only protecting a family that consists of 7 to 10 slots stamped through a planar surface. So that's the alleged family that they're claiming a mark in. They're saying that particular look is what we're protecting. Okay. Well, the problem for them then, when they've asserted that particular family, is that the district court found that there was no such family with either fame, which is necessary for dilution, or secondary meaning, which is necessary for confusion or infringement, in 1985 when we started using the Hummer grill. So now they come here, Your Honor. They don't challenge the fact that we are still using the same grill from 85 to now. What they're saying is that he got it all wrong in using 1985 because of the market. The key to their argument on appeal on this family is that you have to look only at this mainstream SUV market that they come up with. And they say, we didn't enter the mainstream SUV market until this year, so this year is the relevant year. The problem with that, Your Honors, is that that alleged market is fundamentally inconsistent with their family. And this exhibit, I think, attached again to their appendix, really underscores that. This is a truck from the 1950s that is part of their family. Well, this is not a mainstream SUV in any sense of the term. So their assertion of a mark in this family of grills has nothing to do with the alleged mainstream SUV market. So they're really trying to have it both ways, Your Honor. They're trying to say, oh, we're limited to this very narrow market, and so you look at the date on which GM is entering this market. But wait a second. The family of mark that they're asserting is not limited to that market. If you look at this, that family goes back to World War II. It includes the classic CJ Jeep, which again, has a, which they have a registration for that says first use of 1941. So all of their assertions about how the military use is immaterial, those are all fundamentally inconsistent with the very family of marks that they're asserting in this case. And our point is, they just can't have it both ways. They can't gerrymander together a family of marks and say, this is our family, and then say, well, our family is limited to a niche market, which doesn't correspond in any way to the very mark that they're asserting. So again, they have two gerrymanders, and they don't meet. And I think it's really worth pointing out that their alleged family in the first place is a litigation concoction. As the district court pointed out, they've never advertised these 7 to 10 slots together as a family of grills. In fact, we have in our short appendix their advertisements that show very different grills mixed together. Their experts, as the district court found, made up this definition of a family the night before his deposition in this case. So there's an air of unreality that really hangs over this case where they're trying to hop from a particular family into a particular niche market and then say kind of, gotcha, you did your family, you have to look to see whether we have the family on the date that you entered the niche market. And I think the district court really saw through what they were trying to do here. And again, I think you raised some very good questions earlier this morning with Mr. Bernstein about latches. Even putting aside the family issue and the whole market issue, they didn't do anything when we registered our grill. We are the ones who actually did it the way you're supposed to. The marks that they're asserting here, the mark for this alleged family, that's not a registered mark. That's just a common law mark that they're asserting. We're the ones that have the registered mark for our product that they're trying to enjoin us from using on the basis of their unregistered mark. And our mark, we have, again, the registration, which is in the record attached to our brief, that says a first use in commerce in 1981 and a use for trucks. So we have, and we are prima facie entitled to go on that basis. The district court corrected that and said it should be 1985, but still, that's 1985, and that's the date he used. It's not 2000. Given that we have the registered mark, and they're asserting an unregistered family of marks, it's really small wonder that the district court ultimately concluded that they had very little chance of success. One important point to emphasize here, we heard very little from Mr. Bernstein, not surprisingly, about the procedural posture here. This is the denial of a preliminary injunction. That's an extraordinary remedy to begin with. And the district court here could hardly have been more thorough and thoughtful in his analysis of the issue. This is not your typical PI that's happening bang, bang, bang. This is a PI hearing that took place after almost 8 months of discovery and including an 8-day hearing. And the district court in 2 weeks was able to put out the 76-page opinion. So they got more than enough process below by Judge Miller in terms of setting forth the pros and cons of both sides. There was a full evidentiary hearing on that basis. And one point I think that you pointed out, Judge Williams, is that there's even more of an air of unreality because discovery on the merits has actually closed. It closed last August after this appeal was filed. So in a sense, even though this case is really, this appeal as a practical matter, it's really in an odd position because what they want you to do, they're not saying that you should say that there has to be a PI. They're asking you just to remand for the district court to go through the whole PI thing once again, where the district court has already announced that he's ready for trial. So the whole thing is just in a very strange posture. Their fundamental request here is a very odd one from a judicial efficiency point of view to go back to the beginning when you can actually just get the real deal done with and resolve the case. One last point, if I could just emphasize. In the preliminary injunction context, you have a lot of factors that are relevant besides the ultimate merits factors that we've been talking about. And I would like to emphasize the district court's assessment of the harms in this case. The district court found that the only harm that they were bringing to the table was their presumptive harm as the alleged owner of an alleged mark. On our side, he's found the countervailing harm, because we have a mark as well, the registered mark, that they are trying to prevent us from using. So, in a sense, their irreparable injury and our irreparable injury are simply two sides of the same coin. Whereas they couldn't go any further in assessing any harms beyond the presumptive harm, we went a lot further and put on a lot of evidence about how severe the impact would be of a preliminary injunction on this major launch of a program. And the district court very carefully laid out in his opinion first the merits, where he said he concluded they had virtually no chance of success. But then he said, just to reduce the risk of error, I'm going to go ahead and say, even assuming arguendo that they had a better than negligible chance of success on the merits, I'm going to conduct the harms analysis. And I'm going to find, and I proceed to find, that the balance of harms weighs, quote, enormously, unquote, in favor of GM and AM General. So, Your Honor, again, I think this whole proceeding where they're coming here to this court and coming up with some legal errors that we think are rather convoluted and contrived, you have to keep that in perspective when you're looking at their errors in the basic findings below, that the harms were found to weigh irreparably in our favor. So at the end of the day, you've got before you, Your Honor, a preliminary injunction denial and a very comprehensive record, and we would say that on the basis of this record, there is more than ample ground to affirm the judgment, and we would ask you to do so. If there are no further questions.
Thank you.
Good morning. I'm John Ledoux, and I represent AM General. I'd like to use my time to respond to one argument raised in Daimler Chrysler's appeal. Daimler Chrysler claims that the district court erred by considering the harm that a preliminary injunction would impose on AM General, AM General's employees, and the community around AM General's new plant. Daimler Chrysler does not allege or does not contend that the district court's factual findings on this harm were erroneous. Instead, Daimler Chrysler contends that the preliminary injunction law in this circuit precludes the district court from considering harm to individuals and parties, non-parties, when weighing and balancing the harms and the public interest in a trademark case. There are two problems with this argument. First, Daimler Chrysler did not raise this argument below, so it's waived. In fact, Daimler Chrysler asked the district court, and the district court did consider the harm that its decision might impose on Daimler Chrysler's plants and the workers who are working in those plants in the state of Indiana. The second problem with Daimler Chrysler's argument is that it misstates the law in this circuit. In a trademark case, the TMT North America case cited on page 38 of AM General's brief, this court defined the public interest factor to include, quote, the effect that granting or denying the injunction would have on non-parties. The court's preliminary injunction case law has held that the district court should consider all appropriate factors regarding the public interest or related to harm to non-parties. And I cite the court to the cases cited on page 38 of AM General's brief and the cases cited at page 29 and 30 of General Motors' brief. Daimler Chrysler's argument contends that in a trademark case, the only harm to the public that the district court can consider is the consumer's interest in being free from confusion about the source of a product. This argument suggests that the law requires the district court to ignore the other possible effects that a preliminary injunction might have on non-parties. The evidence that was presented at the hearing and Judge Miller's findings in this case demonstrate how unreasonable such a restriction would be. During the preliminary injunction hearing, the court received a large amount of uncontested evidence about AM General's stake in the success of the H2 project and the devastating impact that a preliminary injunction in this case would have on AM General, its employees, and the community. In 1983, AM General received an assignment of all rights to the Humvee design, including its grill design, and then in the years that followed, AM General built the Hummer brand and managed the grill design trademark like any prudent trademark owner would do. AM General used the mark in its commercial vehicle, obtained a federal registration to protect the grill design trademark, featured the grill design in its own marketing material, and licensed the grill design to others to use in promoting their products. The Hummer grill design and the Hummer vehicle have appeared in movies, TV shows, full-page advertisements, and national publications like the Wall Street Journal. And during the entire period when AM General was exploiting this mark in this fashion, Daimler Chrysler and its predecessors never once challenged AM General's use of the mark. In fact, they had no contact with AM General, and by 1999, the Hummer brand and the distinctive grille trademark was so recognizable and strong in the marketplace that General Motors was interested in buying it and using their own resources to exploit the brand further. So AM General and General Motors entered into a series of contracts where AM General assigned the trademark to General Motors and then gave AM General the exclusive rights to build the new generation of Hummer vehicles. So now AM General is in a position to capitalize on all its hard work, build a new plant, bring 1,000 new jobs to the South Bend area, and help build the new generation of Hummer vehicles. Based on the credibility of the testimony presented at the hearing from AM General's executives and General Motors executives, the district court was convinced that if the court issued a preliminary injunction, AM General would have to shut down its new plant. And at that point, there were 470 well-trained workers working in that plant, depending on AM General for their paychecks. And there were another 530 workers in the hiring pipeline who are now on board as of August. Additionally, in researching the benefits of this new plant, the state of Indiana and the local government predicted that about $470 million in additional annual revenue would come to Indiana businesses and the local community.
Well, none of that's being contested by your opponent. The only point they made was you could have gone to that alternative grill.
That
was a program that was there.
They also,
what's your comment on that?
On the alternative grill?
Yeah, because they're saying that because the alternative program was in place, you were ready to roll, that it really wouldn't have this kind of effect. You could just switch over to that grill and that would...
Two problems with the alternative grill, Your Honor. Number one, for the short term, it would have been a 6 to 8 week delay just getting that on board. The launch would have been delayed that period of time. No confidence that the workers in our plant would have stuck around for 2 months waiting to come back on board. Most of those folks would need to go find other jobs and get a paycheck. But more importantly, for the long term...
Are there that many opportunities out there for these people to get other jobs?
AM General had about 10,000 applications for these jobs and was only able to hire about 1,000. But to answer your question, Your Honor, the more important problem with the painted grill is that, as Judge Miller found, it makes the vehicle look very different. It would destroy the continuity of our brand, of the Hummer brand. AM General is going to be selling H1s on the same dealership floors as the H2s, and the differences in the two vehicles would be quite apparent. It was reasonable for AM General and General Motors to look at that and decide that it was not a viable option and that it would rather wait, shut the plant down, and go to trial and fight for the right to use the trademark that it owns. The district court was convinced by the testimony presented from AM General and General Motors executives that because of those long-term concerns, AM General would shut its plant down. These people would lose their jobs, and the community would lose the income expected from the new plant. Daimler Chrysler did not contest these findings, and they only argued that the court should not have considered this harm, which the district court found enormous and unmeasurable. The district court was certainly within its discretion to consider this harm in denying Daimler Chrysler's request for preliminary injunction.
Thank you, counsel.
Mr. Landau and Mr. Ledoux spoke a lot about the facts down below, and what they didn't talk about is much of the legal errors that we've really focused on in our appeal, the errors that we're asking this court to correct. There was no dispute about the notion that progressive encroachment should apply to dilution, that when you're considering a dilution claim, you've got to look at these market-based factors. So I won't address that further. With respect to self-imposed harm and irreparable harm, first of all, I don't believe it is correct that the district court found that the the alternative grill would destroy the brand. I actually don't think there are any findings on that in the district court's opinion. What the district court did find, and I would, there's a footnote right at the end of the decision, which you can take a look at as you're looking at this case further. It's on page BA72, footnote 20 of the district court's opinion. What the district court did find is that GM went to extraordinary lengths to keep this alternative grill program secret. They kept it secret from the general manager of the Hummer program. They kept it secret from the president of AM General. They tried to keep it secret from us in litigation. We actually had to go to the magistrate judge and get an order that it be disclosed. And then when we finally got a picture of it, we couldn't tell what it was from the picture. And frankly, Your Honors, what they did was they had this alternative. They kept it so secret that then when they presented it at trial, their witnesses who came to trial said, oh, well, we don't like that anyway. But Judge Williams, your point, I really believe, is the right one with respect to harm. First of all, with respect to the 6 to 8 weeks of harm, 6 to 8 weeks has passed. The production line is up and running, so actually I don't think that's an issue anymore. But they've got this alternative. And again, the injunction we are seeking is only against the H2 grill that we object to because it copies our grill, copies our family of grills, copies a family that is famous and is well known as of today. And Judge Bauer, you know, I have to say, when I first got this case, people could look at it and say, you're fighting about grills? But within the market...
Only Weber grills should be fun.
Well, I don't know if you want to sizzle a burger on any of the grills here, Your Honor, but when you look at the particular market of Jeep owners, Jeep enthusiasts, people in this SUV category, the evidence below shows that people are very passionate about the grill. People really care about this Jeep grill design. And, Your Honors, this slotted grill is actually very distinct in this category. And there is evidence in the record to support the notion that people do care. And that's why I think one thing we both agree on is the grill really does matter. And it's the reason we're here fighting about this case. If you're going to look at pictures, Your Honor, I think it gets into facts. I actually don't think this court needs to, but I would just point you to page 1 of our appendix, which shows an entire family of Jeep grills. And it is true that in the 50s, there really wasn't an SUV market. There was no, you know, the sport utility vehicle craze started with our Cherokee, which was launched in 1984. Back in the 50s, yes, we had the Wrangler, and back then it was called the CJ. It was effectively the freedom-fighting vehicle from World War II. And it was sold, and it was...
It's nice that at least two members of this court drove those original vehicles.
Well, I hope you
weren't including we weren't including Judge Williams in it.
Thank you.
That wasn't so bad, believe me.
But Your Honor, if you do look at page A1 of our appendix, you will see that since the 80s, we have had a very consistent family. And that is why this question of markets is so important. That since the SUV market was launched in 1984...
And why didn't you take the action earlier?
Because, Your Honor, the Humvee was sold to the military, and it did not dilute, it didn't confuse consumers, because it wasn't available to consumers.
Just like a little pebble of...
That one wasn't even a pebble, Your Honor. It was so far out there. The H1, yes, it was a pebble of erosion. But given these market-based factors I've been talking about, the fact that they only sold 900 or fewer a year, they themselves, their witnesses themselves, testified below that the H1 never competed with Jeep vehicles. In fact, it didn't compete with other vehicles at all. People who were thinking of buying an H1 were comparing it, should I buy an H1 or a private plane? Should I buy an H1 or a yacht? Your Honor, let me just make a point about the posture we find ourselves in, because I don't think it's so unique at all. In fact, it's very similar to the posture in the Abbott against Mead Johnson case, in which the district court denied a preliminary injunction, the parties appealed, while the appeal was pending, the parties continued their discovery, and then this court reversed and remanded and said, look, since discovery is over, we're going to fix the law, we're going to send this back to the district court. Don't worry about another preliminary injunction opinion. Instead, just try this case forthwith. And we would be prepared to go that route as well, Your Honor. There's very little additional discovery that may be needed based on whatever this court rules. But we would ask that you correct the legal errors, send this back to the district court, and if we can get a quick trial rather than go through the process of a preliminary injunction opinion again, We would be all for that. And so to sum up, Your Honors, it's the perverse incentive that the district court's opinion creates that we think mandates reversal here. The incentive on trademark owners to have to litigate every one of those pebbles. Judge Bauer, you'll see a lot more trademark cases if that happens. And the
well, that's good experience for all of us.
Well, and they're probably fun cases. And also, Your Honors, the incentive on defendants not to manufacture harm. Thank you very much.
Thank you, counsel.